to the Mary Valoney Show. I'm your host, Mary Valoney, and you're listening to episode 62. Today's episode is called How to Overcome the Four Obstacles to Change. I hope you caught last week's episode, which is on how to end the lack and scarcity mindset, because like I shared, this is really truly my vision, is to end the lack and scarcity mindset amongst our nonprofits. And I've gotten a lot of really great feedback, and thank you so much for the feedback that you've given and told me that this was really helpful, because I do, I mean, this is such a passion of mine that we really change the way that we think, because in the end, that's really what's holding so many of our nonprofits back. We're the ones that are stopping other people from coming into our cause because we just don't tell them what we need or what we want or how they can best help us. So somewhere along the line, we're not doing a good enough job to tell people what we want. And I think that that also comes back from the place that we don't always know what we want. And if you're a brand new nonprofit and you're just getting started, I mean, you probably don't know what you want because you just got started. But if you're in year 5, 10, 15, 20, 50, 60 years doing this, I hope that you know by now what you want, what you need, how you're actually making a difference through your nonprofit and through your ministry. So this is where we have to be so clear about what we want that other people are like, oh yeah, I can help you. And they can jump right in. So last week, talking about that lack and scarcity mindset, it was really important for me to get that across because I just want you guys to see that this is, it's all about us, you know, as the leaders, that we really take control and we stop the excuses. We stop all the things that are, you know, maybe at this point that we're saying, well, we can't raise more money because we just can't seem to pull it together. And sit down with that pen and paper and realize that this is all about you. It's all about you as the leader being able to really share your message and tell people how they can really help you. And maybe some, you know, some of this comes back to the fact that you're under somebody else and they're not very clear. So it's hard for you to step up because you can't even get them to understand that there's a disconnect there. So a couple that I was talking to this last week, we were talking about how their leader really hasn't been all that clear. And so I actually asked them to take a step back and to start talking about, what about your personal mission? Start talking about, what do you believe? And you don't always have to go the route of, okay, I'm only talking about the mission and the vision of the organization that I work for, but start talking about your personal vision. If you work for some large organization, people are going to buy into what you believe. So if you believe that you're going to make a difference and that you are making a difference in your community, then you need to share that story. Because you can say that with confidence because it's yours. You get to own it. You get to own that mission and the vision. So I do want to encourage you to go back, listen to that episode if you haven't done it, and just continue to work on this. This is a work in progress. You're not going to immediately just jump right over and catch the whole abundance mindset. It takes time, and you also have to convince yourself that you don't have to live in lack and scarcity. So that's going to just take some time. So I'm glad that you're here, that you're listening in this week, because I want you to continue to just surround yourself with positivity. So today we're talking about, you know, how to overcome the four obstacles to change, because if we're going to change our mindset from lack and scarcity over to abundance, then we have to change. I mean, we personally have got to change, but change is really hard. You know, and I know that change is hard. There's things that we want to do in our lives that we know is good for us. Like, we know that we should probably be like exercising more and we probably should not be eating French fries so much, but darn it, they're so good, you know? So the thing is that there's all these great things that we want to do. We really do want to do them, but there's something holding us back, and that's just because it's hard to change. So let's talk about the four obstacles to change, and then let's talk about how to overcome them. So the four obstacles to change is 1, your past, 2, your habits, 3, your mind, and 4, your surroundings. So your past, you can't change when you are so ingrained in how you are hardwired. You know that you were raised a certain way. I mean, like, I was raised the youngest of 7. It's really hard for me to change my mentality that I'm like the number one person when I'm used to being that kid's sister. And I've always played that role in everything that I do. And I don't think that it's a bad role to play, but it's just the fact that I know that I'm just naturally ingrained, you know, like, that I'm thinking that way because that's just what I know. That's just how I've been wired, you know? So I want you to think through the fact that it's like, there's certain things that you do in your life because you are conditioned that way. Think about your family. Think about your upbringing. If you have issues with money in general, if you feel like you should be living in that lack and scarcity, it's probably because somewhere along the line, a parent, an authority figure, somebody told you that you should live that way. And so you just have always taken that on that, well, this is just how we do it. You know, if we have too much, then people won't want to give to us. Well, that's just a lie, you know? And so we have to change the way that we're thinking, but we first have to understand that the obstacle that's standing there is our past. And I only know what I know. I mean, I was raised in a very white community, and now I live in a very racially diverse community. So to me, that was hard for me to change because I was like, I didn't think that I had any issues. I didn't think that I was all that different. I thought, well, I've only been surrounded by white people, but that doesn't mean that I'm like racist or something. But the thing is that I only know what I know. So I didn't realize until the whole Ferguson, you know, thing hit, and I live in St. Louis, Missouri. So Ferguson is just like 20 miles north of where I live. And so when the Ferguson thing hit, I was like, well, gosh, like, I can't believe that this is all happening and this is happening right in my community. But I was faced with the fact that I had to address the fact that white people are privileged. And I have never been pulled over by a police officer and ever questioned whether I was being pulled over because of the color of my skin. And that was all of a sudden becoming something in my mind that I was like, wow, I just didn't realize that so many people were going through that in my own community. And so, but my past was telling me that I couldn't even realize that other people had it any different than I did, you know? And so you may come from a past where it's like you have been treated differently, you know, as a female. I tell people that I'm like, men and women were treated differently. And so you may already have this preconceived notion of how women should be treated or how men should be treated. And you're on the offense or on the defense about certain topics, but just know that's just the way that you've been brought up. So you can change that. You can change the way that you look at your community, the way that you look at your organization, the way you look at money in general, that you can have a different perspective on it. But the reason why you're probably dealing with this is just because this is all you've ever known. If you've lived in the same community your entire life, why would you know any different? I mean, don't beat yourself up. It's just, that's all you've ever known. Okay. So your past is the first one. Your habits is the second obstacle. And we are such creatures of habit. You know, that it's like when we learned how to tie our shoelaces, when we learned how to drive, or, you know, we're in a relationship with somebody, whether that's a parent, a sibling, a friend, you have a habit. There's a habit of how you do life with other people. You have habits on how you get up in the morning and how you get ready. When I was making the change between working for the American Cancer Society and then working for myself, I was petrified about the whole process of what do I do in the morning? You know, how do I get ready? Like, what time do I wake up? And do I take a shower right away? Do I start working? Do I work out? You know, and so that was really hard for me because that was a huge change that I knew that I was going to have to make because I didn't have to do it the way that I was doing it before. And I had created a habit. And so now I had the opportunity to make a change. And that was really scary. My body and my mind was not happy with making that sort of change. But obviously I got very used to it. And now I have a whole different habit that I have in my life around getting ready and doing life, you know? But your habits are really big. And we know that statistics say it takes 21 days to change a habit or to create a habit. And so if you want to make a change, you have to start implementing something different in your life. Okay. But it is an obstacle. Those habits have created something in your life and that's just stability. And we need that. We need stability in our lives. And so those habits also like allow us, to not have to think about every single little detail about things. Imagine if you had to get in your car when you were driving and have to think about, use so much energy and so much brain power around driving your car like you did when you were first learning how to drive. You would be exhausted. So thankfully, our bodies are wired in a way to where we don't have to think about it. We can put those things on autopilot. We don't have to think about, oh, how do I get ready in the morning? How do I tie my shoelaces? How do I drive my car? All those things are just habits, which are really, really incredible. And I'm so glad that that our bodies are wired that way. So, okay, so the second one is those habits. That's the obstacle that's standing in your way. So your past, your habits, your mind is the third obstacle. And your mind is wired to protect you. You know, we are so lucky that our bodies are just created in a way to protect us. You know, so when we have the feelings of fear and anxiety and, you know, frustration or any of those sorts of emotions, worry, that all comes out of the fact that our mind or body, we're trying to protect ourselves from change, you know, from anything that could harm you. So that obstacle of change, I mean, like, yeah, thankfully our bodies are protecting us. But just because, I know sometimes people are like, well, my heart says I shouldn't do this, or I feel like I shouldn't move forward on that. Sometimes it's just your mind trying to protect you. It's not a bad thing. It's not bad that you're trying to do something different. It's just that you feel like there really is this tug of war. And there is, you know, when you're trying to work out after you haven't done it for a long time, well, it's hard and your body's like, no, don't do this, you know, and then all of a sudden you get sore and achy muscles and all that stuff. And it just feels like, oh, like this is so hard. And it's hard to make that change, you know, but I mean, your body is trying to protect you from something that's different. And you've been telling yourself that you don't work out for so long that you created a habit. So it's all built up upon each other. So your mind is the third one. And I just want to hit on some things that we all have a basic fear in our lives. Depending on your personality, you have some major fear. And I'll just share my major fear. My major fear is being worthless. Yeah, like the feeling of not being worth anything, you know? And so for me, I have to, like, that feeling is something that I will, you know, fight or flight. Like I want to abandon anything that might make me feel like I'm worthless, you know? And so, but I just have to realize that that is part of my body just reacting to something that I have a fear in, you know? And so, but maybe your fear is of being defective. You know, maybe you feel like you want to be seen as good, you know, having integrity and being a balanced person, but being defective, that's a huge fear of yours. Maybe it's being unwanted or unloved. That's a huge fear that people feel. You know, they want to feel loved. We all do. But some people, that's like debilitating, that when they feel like they're unwanted. I mentioned my fear, which is being worthless or feeling unvaluable. Some people have the feeling that they don't want it, like a fear of not having an identity or like having any sense of personal significance. They want to find themselves. They want to figure out who they are. And so identity is a huge fear in their lives. Some people feel useless, helpless, or incapable. That's like, yeah, huge. I mean, we all have these fears, but some people, like I said, this can be something that can totally take somebody down, is that feeling of uselessness. Another one is being, you know, without support or guidance, people not leading you, not showing you what to do, or not feeling like you have people in your life who are there to build you up and make you feel like you're supported in the process. Some people have a fear of being deprived or in pain, and they will freak out if there's some sense of pain that comes with it. Maybe it's being harmed or controlled by others. Maybe it's, you know, somebody else that's trying to tell you what to do and you just don't want to be controlled. That's just a huge fear. And then the last one I want to share is the fear of loss or separation. You know, we don't want to feel like we're, you know, abandoned or alone, you know, so that fear of loss or separation. So all these things, being defective, unwanted, no identity, worthless, useless, without support, in pain, controlled by others, loss or separation. There is something about that in your life, and that thing can totally knock you down from any sort of change that's coming in your life. And this is just, your body will fight you on it at every turn. And so if we're trying to battle something that just feels like, okay, this is totally against my, how I'm hardwired, just know that that's so natural. It's just so natural. You're not different, or there's nothing wrong with you. That's just the way that we're wired, you know? Okay. So, and then the very final obstacle to overcome is your surroundings. So what happens when you want something, when you have a fear in your life, you surround yourself with people who will protect you. You surround yourself with an environment that'll protect you. So sometimes that means that you bring enablers into your life. Sometimes that means that you surround yourself with people who are maybe less than, or aren't going to challenge you, aren't going to push you to the next level. And it's just comfortable. And you're not going to change because it's just status quo. You're going to do the same thing all day, every day, you know, and nothing's going to be any different because nobody's making you do it any different, you know? And so, I mentioned that my fear is of being unwanted. My husband's fear is actually of being controlled by others. And so sometimes when I say stuff to him and, you know, it might come across as though maybe I'm trying to control him, like he will like rise up and like combat me on it, you know? And the same thing when he comes at me and he's questioning everything that I'm doing, I'm like that triggers something in me, you know? And so it's not bad. It's just that that's just how you are. And so you need to surround yourself with people who are going to challenge you. And it's great when you have people in your life that are not the same as you, because it does make you a better version of yourself. So all these things. So back to the four obstacles: your past, your habits, your mind, and your surroundings. How do we overcome them? Okay. How do we make this thing happen so that we can overcome those obstacles? And here are the four things that I want you to do, is that the only way that you're going to overcome your past is if you change the story. And so you have to start putting yourself in new environments. You have to start educating yourself about information that maybe you just have never known. So if you've lived in this lack and poverty mentality for so long, you've got to surround yourself with people who think differently. And you got to start telling yourself that just because you were raised a certain way doesn't mean that that's who you are today. So We've got to change that story by educating ourselves. You know, I often hear from people that I follow that leaders are readers. And so if you are a leader, you should be a reader. And so reading new information, getting new, you know, information, just like you listening to this podcast, you're trying to educate yourself to do things differently because maybe something that you've done in the past isn't working anymore. So educating yourself with books, you know, maybe that's why you picked up the book Fundraising Freedom. And you've been trying to do this fundraising stuff different, you know, that the way it's been done in the past just isn't working anymore. And so it's time to make that change. So reading books, listening to podcasts, filtering what you allow to come into your life. You're starting to listen to different voices so that you can change the narrative. You do not have to live in your past any longer. If you were treated a certain way by somebody in your life, you don't have to live that way anymore. And so what happens is that when you start surrounding yourself with different people and you start educating yourself, things will start to change. Okay. So that's the first way that I want you to overcome, and overcome, you know, the obstacles of change. So educate yourself. And then two, create new habits. We can create any new habit that we want to create. We have the ability to do that, but habits are hard, you know, so we've got to just take it one day at a time. You know, when people say, oh, I'm going to go, you know, I'm going to make all these New Year's resolutions and I'm going to work out every day and I'm going to eat healthy every day. Well, is it by chance that all those things fall apart very quickly, you know? And that only happens because you did too much. You just tried to do too much. So just pick one thing. Just pick one thing that you want to focus your attention on and start making that change one day at a time. But the only way to do it is just one day at a time. And if you screw up, who cares? There's nobody watching. Nobody knows that you screwed up. And who cares? I mean, literally, who cares? I mean, so I just think that whenever I'm trying to make a change in my life, I'm always just trying to you know, do better. do better than the day before, you know, and start moving in the right direction. And so the only way that that's going to happen is just by trying, you know, make a commitment to yourself that you're going to work on one new habit. Okay. Number three is that you have to understand that your mind is going to fight you. So just like we talked about your mind, there's all these fears that you're dealing with, that defective, unwanted, not no identity, useless, all those sorts of fears are going to just come into your life. I mean, we are just wired that way. So the only way that you can do this, the only way that you can overcome it is if you identify what it is. Identify what that fear is that's holding you back, and you got to flip the switch on the fear and you have to turn it into gratefulness. As soon as I feel a sense of worry or panic or anxiety, anything like that, if I can just take a minute to pause and think to myself, why am I even feeling this way? I should be grateful for the opportunity that I even am in the position that I'm in to be doing what I'm doing. And all of a sudden that fear seeps out the window and I can focus on the fact that it's like, okay, like, yes, this feels overwhelming at this point, but you know what? I'm so grateful that I have the opportunity to do this and that I'm even in the position to be able to respond and to deal with this situation or whatever it is, you know? So I know you guys have extremely stressful jobs. You feel the weight of the world on your shoulders. And so, but I mean, think about the gratefulness, you know, that if, I mean, like for me, I mean, it's kind of silly for me to feel like I'm unwanted, you know, like the fear of being unwanted, because I get messages all of the time from people who say, like, what you do is changing our lives. Like what you do is changing how we fundraise, and we're raising more dollars than ever before. And so I'm getting continuous feedback that what I'm doing is valuable. And so that fills my tank, obviously, but it doesn't ever stop the fear. You know, that never goes away. So just know that no matter how good life is, there's always that nagging voice in your head that's always going to be coming back at you. So you have to understand that that's just how life is. And so we've got to shut that voice down, focus on being grateful for the wonderful things and the opportunities that we have that we're even in, so that we can even feel that sense of worry or anxiety or fear, you know, all that stuff. Okay. So, and then the fourth thing is surround yourself with new people. You know, a new environment. I notice that when I work with certain nonprofits and they are so used to doing things a certain way, and then I come in and I start sharing new ideas and giving them new ways to think about things, I can tell that there's some pushback on making a change. And usually that just comes back because they've created habits. This is just how we've always fundraised. This is just how we do it. And so there's this, we've got to do something different. So when they bring me in, it's usually because they know that they have to surround themselves with somebody different. They have to change the story. So that's really why I feel like what I do is really, really important, because I bring new perspective. And so if you've been surrounding yourself with the same story, the same environment, the same people, and nobody's ever tried to, like, nobody's come in and stirred the pot a little bit, then you're probably just going to continue to do the same things because it's just habit and it's comfortable and we don't like change. So this is just something that I want to encourage you, is that it's like, surround yourself with people that will make you think differently. You know, when I wrote my book, Fundraising Freedom, I had hired my author coach, Carrie Oberbrunner. And when I hired him, the reason why I wanted to do this was, number one, I needed somebody to help me. I needed a guide, you know, somebody to show me how to write a book. Obviously, that was really important. But my past was telling me that I couldn't do it, because I had tried on my own before. So I already knew, my past was telling me that I couldn't do it. My habits were teling me that I didn't have the system in place. I wasn't structured. I wasn't diligent to get up every single day and start writing. I just hadn't created that habit in my life. You know, my mind was telling me that there's no way you can write this book. This is too overwhelming. It's too daunting. Nobody wants to hear your message. Those were the thoughts that were coming through my mind. And then I was surrounded by no one who could help support me in this. I mean, my husband obviously was telling me, how's that book coming along? How's that book coming along? But the thing is that I couldn't do it on my own. And so I had to start to say, I've got to bring somebody into my life that's going to change this. So that is what happened, was I hired my business coach. He brought in new perspective. He brought new energy. He changed my thought process. And the very first thing that he did was he had us, you know, each person that comes through his program, each one of them has to shoot a video, and it's just a minute or two, nothing too crazy. But we each had to shoot a video saying, I am an author. And last week on the episode where I talked about lack and scarcity and how to end it, I talked about the I am statement. And my author coach immediately started off by saying, I want you to change the narrative. I want you to stop saying that you're not an author, that you're only an author when the book comes out. But instead, he changed it to where I immediately, because I made the decision, I had changed, I put my heels in the ground and I said, I'm not going to do this the way that I've done it in the past, and I'm going to do this differently. And that's why I hired him. But I immediately said, I am an author. You know, so I shot that video, and with confidence, I said, I am an author. And I shared the entire vision of what would happen if somebody read my book. What would, you know, and I was saying, you know, nonprofits around the world are reading my book today. And I talked as though the book was in my hands and that this book has already happened. So I said, I am an author, and nonprofit leaders and ministry leaders around the world are reading my book, and their nonprofits are being changed because they're starting to see that they don't have to live in lack and in scarcity anymore. That they can live in abundance, that they can change their story, that they can raise as much money as they want to raise. They just have to surround themselves with other people who believe what they believe in. And they need to invite them to say yes to their cause. So to just go invite them and to not feel the weight of the world on their shoulders anymore. And isn't it crazy? Okay. So you're listening right now. You're listening to The Mary Valone Show, a podcast that I hadn't even thought about at that point. But many of you have read my book, Fundraising Freedom, and you are living in different parts of the world, which is crazy to me, that this podcast can just scatter all, you know, corners of this world. And you are working to end the lack and scarcity mindset. But just like me, you have to stand in it and say, you know, I am changing lives. You know, I am making a difference in this world. And together with this incredible team that I have built, we're doing something that no one else is doing. And so when you start to sit in that and to say, I am living an abundant life, you know, like you're telling yourself a different story. You might not believe it today, but just by saying it does make a difference. And so when I took my position at the American Cancer Society, I had told my story. I had this mindset when I worked for the ALS Association and when I worked for Special Olympics that I was the only one who was capable of raising the money. I had a really difficult time delegating out to other people. I had a hard time giving up control. And it wasn't until 2007 when I walked into the American Cancer Society and my boss at that point told me that that on average, the person who worked in this organization was responsible for a quarter of a million dollars. Okay, so $250,000 is what each person who was working for that organization as a fundraiser were responsible for. And all I could think of was, I can't do this by myself. I have got to let go. I've got to be able to delegate and to change the story. And change, yes, change is so hard. And I was so hardwired at this point to do it by myself, to do it on my own. But because I was in a new organization, I kind of had the past in the past, and I was able to just say, you know what? I'm going to change my story. This is going to be different. I'm not going to walk in here the same. I'm working for a very different organization, and I'm going to follow their lead. So what happened? I was surrounded by new people. I was focused on abundance and that we were going to raise $1 million. And I just continued to tell myself this story that we were going to do this. And is it by chance that we net $500,000 our first year and $600,000 our second year and $700,000 our third year? Is it by chance that we raised over $3 million in 5 years? No. That was because I had continued to stand in the fact that this organization and the work that I was doing was so much bigger. This was a huge mission that I had ahead of me to end cancer, you know, to find a cure for cancer. And I know we're still on the mission, but you know, in that moment I had such a strong mission and vision for what could be. And I want that for you, you know, that the story has to change. So in order to end the lack and scarcity mindset, you have to stand today and say that I'm not going to allow my past. I'm not going to allow the habits that I've created. I'm not going to allow my mind and any of these fears and anxieties that I have in my life or the surroundings of the people that I've chosen to put into my life to come in between me and my mission. I'm not going to allow that. There's no way I'm going to allow that to happen. So in order to overcome those obstacles and to make a change so that we can bring more money into our cause than ever before, then I'm going to have to change those things. I'm going to have to change my story about my past by educating myself. I'm going to have to change the fact that I've got some habits in my life that I've got to move out of the way and create new positive habits that are going to make a difference. I'm going to start talking about gratitude over the things instead of fear and anxiety. And I'm going to surround myself with great people who are positive and uplifting and who are saying, man, you got this. You can do this. Let's do this together. I'm so excited. Let's go knock this thing out and let's go raise a whole heck of a lot of money. Okay. So I'm going to be the person that I know that you've already surrounded yourself with who's saying you're going to get out there and you're going to go raise a whole heck of a lot of money because why not? Why not? There is no pie, okay? Get that out of your mind. If you want to raise $10,000, $100,000, $1 million, whatever the number is that you have in front of you, you absolutely can do it. But if you don't believe it's possible, who will? Okay, so you have to first start by believing that it is possible that whatever dollar amount you want to raise, that it's possible and you're going to do it. And you just got to keep telling yourself every single day that you're going to do it, that you are doing it. Not gonna, you are doing it. So that's what I want to tell you today. So I just have a few quick announcements. I wanted to remind you guys that we have the Fundraising Freedom Tribe, which is a free Facebook group, which is just a bunch of nonprofit leaders who are hanging out. And once a month, I do a Fundraising Freedom Fellowship. So that is coming up here. It won't be this week. It'll be next week, but I make all those announcements in the Fundraising Freedom Tribe, but that'll be the first Friday of the month. And we always talk on a topic. It's a great way for us to connect over Zoom. It doesn't matter where you live in the world, you can join us. And but that all happens in our Fundraising Freedom Tribe on Facebook. And you can look at it in the show notes, or you can just type in Fundraising Freedom Tribe in Facebook and you can find us there. And click to join in and I'll give you a warm welcome. And the rest of the tribe will do the same. So that I want you to make sure that you're there. I also want to invite you to consider bringing me on as your coach. This is something that I do. I work with several nonprofits across the country, around the world. It doesn't matter, once again, where you live, is that we jump on a call either once a month, twice a month, and some of you I talk with weekly. So, but what it is really, I'm just trying to infuse this kind of content into your life. But we're talking specifically about your scenario. What are the obstacles that you're facing and how do we overcome them? So if you're thinking right now, man, it would be great to have 1 hour a week or 1 hour a month to just sit and talk with me about your fundraising, and we can come up with a game plan. I want to be your guide. I want to guide you through the process because I've done this over and over and over again with so many different nonprofits. I've worked with ministries and obviously really large nonprofits like I've shared in the past, but I want to walk with you through this. So if you need help reach out to me through maryvaloney.com. You can just click on the contact and you can fill out a form there and we'll set up a time to talk. So I want to do life with you guys like I've always shared, and I'm excited that you guys are making a change, that you're working towards eliminating this lack and scarcity mindset, and you're focused on bringing in as many dollars as possible so that you can fulfill your mission. So get out there, go change the world. Let's go do this. One volunteer, $1 at a time. Have a great week.